am Kelly. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is March 1st, 2011. I do have a sponsor, and I am available to sponsor others. So what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I was born in Charlotte, North Carolina, to my mom. I've never met my birth father, so it was to my mom. She was 17 when she got pregnant with me. And so the first, I don't know, I guess 6 years of my life, it was just my mom and my grandmother and me. And then I have a brother who's 2 years younger. And my family decided, we're in this very small town, North Carolina, that it would be great to move to Los Angeles because they saw on TV how, you know, wonderful Los Angeles was. Drove there, was not what it was we thought it would be, so we ended up in Las Vegas, where my mom was a cocktail waitress. And there she met my stepfather, and I have a brother who's 8 years younger than me, too. And we moved around. I was in a different school every year until I was in sixth grade, and I was always very shy, insecure, just really sad child. Never really knew why. And from sixth to eighth grade, I was in, you know, like I said, the same school. Still just really insecure. Had my first drink, I guess I was in eighth grade. And it was just a mixture of whatever we could find from my dad's liquor cabinet. And it was disgusting, absolutely disgusting. I had to plug my nose to drink it. But I loved how I felt. So I proceeded to do that quite often. If it wasn't my parents' liquor cabinet, it was my friends. And we would drink this nasty, you know, yellow liqueur or whatever and plug our noses while we were doing it. And I guess, like, thinking back, something that I did that was not normal was I would drink by myself, take a couple swigs of whatever before I would go out with my friends. But I wouldn't tell them because I knew that what I was doing probably wasn't really normal, whereas most kids at that age would brag about it. But I knew that, you know, they would kind of think that was very strange. And so just, you know, every weekend I drank. I always had an older boyfriend who was able to supply the wine coolers, whatever. And I drank. I was never a blackout drinker, but I drank until I puked almost every time. And I did get caught. One of the consequences I had when I was 16, I was a cheerleader and drank before a football game. And didn't really get drunk, but I bragged about it to everybody. And it was reported to the principal, and, you know, I violated the purple policy, as they called it, so I was on probation. But the whole school knew about it, which was quite embarrassing. And just alcohol, you know, every weekend as much as I could. And then I started abusing. I had an eating disorder, too. So that was another way of me acting out in my addictive ways and self-destructive behavior. And then I also discovered NyQuil at night. Really helped me sleep. And it made my toes and my legs feel all, like, warm and tingly. I had no idea it was because there was so much alcohol in it. And my mom never questioned why I was going through these bottles of NyQuil, like, every night. But it was like I got so excited to go to bed at night so I could have my NyQuil. I didn't realize that until much later why. But and then I left for college, and my mom was very controlling, very strict with me, not my brothers, but I was a girl. So I had a curfew of midnight until the day I left for college. And I remember getting in a fight with her the day before I left because I came home at 3 a.m. wasted. And I was like, as of tomorrow, you have no say in what I do, what time I come home, what I'm doing. And that I definitely did. So when I left for college, I intentionally went to school 5 hours away so I could be away from my mother. And drank heavily every day. And the only reason why I made it through my freshman year of college is because I was in a sorority and we had mandatory study tables Monday or Sundays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, whatever. And so I was forced to sit down and actually open a book. But I was typically too hungover to go to class ever. And I never really saw, even until I went to treatment, that I actually had a problem with alcohol. But my life was so unmanageable that I could not get up to go to class. I mean, we'd be so hungry. I'd order a Subway, which is across the street from where I lived, and we'd have them deliver it because I could not get out of bed to go pick it up. And just, yeah, I don't know how I made it through my freshman year, barely. Came home that summer, drank every day. And it's just all a blur. And sophomore year, went back to school. And that year, I just, in my first semester, I left because I was not going to class. There was a final. I didn't even know I had a final or where my classes were because I was not going. I was there simply to drink. And so I came home and lived at home, which was miserable. I mean, that was my whole family life was very depressing. I had my stepbrother had committed suicide my freshman year in college, and that just shattered my entire family. My dad had a nervous breakdown. He wouldn't get out of bed. So I had to come home and see that. And my little brother really, really suffered because of the way my family was and because of the suicide. And so I kind of just stayed there because I felt like I needed to be there for him. And I was going to, you know, I was working full time and going to school, so I didn't really have time to drink. And plus, all my friends were away at college. So, you know, I was kind of, I wasn't happy. I was doing other self-destructive things and just kind of getting through each day. And I then got into the medical field and loved it. Just, you know, there was so much satisfaction in helping others. I was really happy. I went through a pretty nasty breakup with a boyfriend I'd had since my freshman year in college. And so after breaking up with him, I started dating someone that was the complete opposite. And I thought that was a great idea. So I married him. And wow. So then I had two kids. I worked very part-time at that point. But you know, drugs are part of my story. And I, like I said, I never realized I had an alcohol problem until the end, but it was there the entire time. But part of it is I was forging prescriptions for myself for several years and got caught and spent a night in jail. And when I got, my mom had to come pick me up from jail with my two daughters in the back seat. Fortunately, they were too young to realize, you know, where mommy was coming from. But I remember walking through the door, and the first thing I said to my mom was like, "Oh my God, I need a drink," because I was detoxing, felt crummy, but alcohol, you know, anything I could do to change how I felt, alcohol was in my fridge, so I went straight to the liquor. And my mom just said, "Are you sure you should be doing that?" I'm like, "Mom, I don't have a problem with alcohol." At that point, I didn't even think, you know, when people were saying, "Well, you should probably seek some help." I'm like, "I'm not an addict. I can't believe they think I'm an addict. I don't have a problem." But, you know, as I just got out of jail. So I lost my part-time job that I love so much. And it was kind of out in the open that Kelly has a problem. But my family, my ex-husband, were very good at, you know, just kind of pushing that away. We don't want to acknowledge it. We're not going to talk about it. It's done. So I went through drug court, drinking and using the whole time. I got away with it because I'm good at that. And we decided to move to Florida because I thought maybe changing a location, leaving, because I grew up in Seattle, by the way, I think I forgot to mention that, by moving from Seattle to Florida to be closer to his dear family, and me getting away from, you know, everything in Seattle that was causing me to be sick, it'd be great. And I got pregnant again. So I moved to Florida, pregnant, only knowing his family, and was miserable. And at this point, you know, I thought with this third pregnancy, I didn't drink or use for the first two. And with my third one, I thought, okay, this will be what saves me. You know, this baby is going to save me. And I couldn't do it. Even for my child, I could not stop. And I used every day. And if I ran out, I drank. I was drinking and puking while I was pregnant. And for any of you that know me now as a mom, I mean, that is not something that I ever thought I would do. So had her continue to use. At this point, I was having grand mal seizures on a fairly regular basis. And even that wasn't enough to stop. I knocked out my front teeth. That's a nice bridge I have now. But and I had a big laceration here. My daughters witnessed so much, you know, finding me after having seizure, blood everywhere, me passing out, and they couldn't wake me up, having to call the paramedics. And at this point, too, my husband finally decided, well, we kind of both decided, I was waiting for him to say he didn't want to be with me anymore so I could get out of it. But I didn't have the courage to do it. So anyway, we decided to get a divorce. And after he hired an attorney, they thought it'd be, you know, well, there's all this stuff that she's done, so let's really investigate it. So they did. And had to do drug testing, alcohol testing. And at this point, I was drinking all day, every day. I was waking up 7 a.m. drinking until I passed out at night. And this was with me taking care of three kids. I remember getting, you know, called into their school for something and going in and so paranoid because I knew I reeked of alcohol. I wasn't supposed to be driving. I would sneak and drive. I had this au pair that lived with me that never really knew what was going on, but I would take my car and go to buy alcohol and come back. And there were even times, like one night, the kids were sleeping, and the thought did cross my mind, like, they're sleeping. I was out of alcohol and considered getting in my car drunk and driving to go get alcohol and leaving them in their beds. And my youngest at the time was, like, one. And I mean, just to think that I was, like, literally had the keys in my hand wanting to go. And I thank God. And there's another time, too, that I woke up. I had been passed out. I woke up. And my door, my back door, was completely open. And two of my kids were in bed. And then I went upstairs, and I looked into the baby's crib, and I didn't see her. And for, like, just that split second of, oh, my God, my baby's gone, because I was so drunk, I passed out, I left the door open, I didn't know what happened. And then I looked, and she was curled up on the other side of the bed. But, you know, all this stuff, it just kept happening, and I was just, you know, finally after the last alcohol test, it came back at toxic levels, and they strongly requested for me to keep any sort of custody of my children and go to treatment. So I ended up at Healthcare Connections March 1st, 2011, and I went in open, willing, just whatever I need to do, I need to do this. This is not an option for me anymore. I do not want to live this way anymore, because it was such a very sad, lonely place to be. And I saw what I was doing to my kids. My older two were old enough to know that mommy was drinking way too much. And so I went in, and, you know, at the beginning, a question like the whole God thing, but they said pray, so I prayed. And they said, you know, I followed everything, all the stupid little rules they had. Just, I listened to what everyone told me. I did everything I was told to do. I stayed in treatment as long as I could have. And I left, and I, you know, I got a sponsor. I work the steps, and I pray every day. I meditate every day. I surround myself with other people in recovery, and my life has changed so much. And, you know, when I left, I came home, and I came home gradually. They let me do, like, a transition thing back home, because they knew it was going to be bad when I got home, because I was still dealing with this nasty divorce and three crazy kids. You know, I came back with things worse than they were when I left, but the difference was me. I was able to handle all of this stuff now, in a much better way. I mean, even now, you know, I'd spend the day today with my ex-husband and my kids shopping for shoes for some wedding they're going to at his sister's house or in Chicago this weekend. But I was able to actually be with him and tolerate him and not want to kill him the entire day, which is a very difficult thing to do. But, you know, I'm able to get through each day now and go to bed and, you know, wake up every morning happy and joyous and free. And really almost every day that I've been in recovery has been happy, joyous, and free. And I think for this, you know, to this program and the people here is really what brought me to that state. So thank you.